There are a lot of gay Republicans who see themselves as Republicans who happen to be gay. We find people that we can agree with, we find people that we can work with, and we fight the rest of them.
John Kerry will give us a seat at the table and an opportunity to talk about these issues with him and educate him. That's not something I can say for George W. Bush.
We've got every indication from Missouri that those states that have marriage on the ballot, that the turnout is going to be very strong, and it's going to be people who are going to vote against gay marriage. They're going to vote for Bush.
John Kerry, too liberal for America.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Spain's government proposes marriage equality, New Zealand's Catholic bishops submit their civil union objections, and queer partisans and a pundit take on the U.S. pink vote. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 2nd, 2004. Spain's cabinet this week approved draft legislation to open marriage to gay and lesbian couples. The proposal would change the language of 14 existing civil laws to refer to partners instead of man and woman, and parents instead of father and mother. It would ensure equal standing for same-gender marriages in areas including pensions, inheritance, lending, medical decisions, Spanish citizenship for foreign partners, and adoption. Deputy Prime Minister Maria Teresa Fernandez de la Vega announced the government's action, saying, "It's a great day for all because we end centuries of discrimination." She described gays and lesbians as our family members and co-workers and citizens, like the rest of us, with obligations and rights.
Although there may be some amendments along the way, the parliament is expected to pass the bill. There's strong public support for marriage equality, with polling ranging from 62% to 70%. Most regions of Spain already offer some legal recognition to gay and lesbian couples. The current socialist government was elected about 6 months ago on a platform that included same-gender marriage and other social reforms. While it does not hold a majority in the parliament, at least five national parties have previously introduced bills to create registered partnerships. Those bills were repeatedly blocked during the long reign of the Partido Popular, but even the PP is now reportedly developing its own bill to create civil unions, which would not be named marriages and would omit adoption rights.
Adoption is definitely the most controversial element in the government's proposal. Less than half the public support it. Even the government's bill would allow same-gender couples to adopt only Spanish children in order to avoid clashes with other countries. DPM Fernandez de la Vega spoke specifically to that point in her announcement, saying, "There are thousands of children already living in Spain with homosexual parents, and more than 50 studies show there are no differences between children who grow up with homosexual parents and others. Most Spanish people think what is important in adoption is the well-being of the child, quite apart from the sexual orientation of the parents."
Lesbian gay groups were surprised and pleased that the government has acted so quickly to advance marriage equality. Spain's first legal same-gender marriages may well be performed in 2005. Spain would follow the Netherlands and Belgium in enacting national marriage equality, but it would be the first Roman Catholic country to do so. About four-fifths of Spaniards identify as Catholic, although about half admit they never attend Mass. The church in Spain has vehemently opposed the government's plans for marriage and has now reportedly called on the faithful to take to the streets in protest. This week, even before the government's announcement, Spanish Bishops' Conference spokesperson Juan Antonio Martinez Camino said on national television that gay and lesbian marriages would create a counterfeit currency in the body of society and likened their legalization to imposing a virus on society, something false that will have negative consequences for social life. Beatriz Jimeno, president of Spain's Gay, Lesbian, and Transsexuals Federation, retorted to reporters, "The church has nothing to say about it. This interventionist tendency by the church is the virus and must be eradicated."
The Roman Catholic Church has also been actively opposing the move to create civil unions in New Zealand, where a parliamentary committee has been holding hearings on a government bill. In mid-September, the Pope himself warned New Zealand's Catholic bishops that spouses rightly deserve specific and categorical legal recognition by the state, while any attempt to equate marriage with other forms of cohabitation violates its unique role in God's plan for humanity. He went on to urge them to defend the sanctity and uniqueness of marriage in the face of the challenges currently confronting them. The New Zealand Catholic Bishops' Conference quickly followed up with a written statement a spokesperson presented to the parliamentary committee. While the bishops wanted to emphasize their opposition to homophobia and their support of civil rights, they expressed a belief that it was not necessary to legally recognize same-gender couples. They said that while people were free to choose other forms of relationships, it was marriage and family that needed support. Expressing concern for the implicit message legal equality might send to society, they wrote, "When the law gives these other relationships the same recognition as it gives to marriage, it is at least naive, if not dishonest, to say that the status of marriage is unaffected."
Earlier this year, the Vatican joined some 5 dozen Islamic nations in denouncing the United Nations' extension of spousal benefits to its gay and lesbian staff whose home countries legally recognize their relationships. Secretary General Kofi Annan's directive that went into effect in February was within the scope of his authority, but his office agreed to re-examine it in light of the opposition. The Associated Press reports that a new directive has been issued to replace the existing one and that it retains the partner benefits. The only difference is deletion of explicit references to domestic partnership and family status, so that it reads, "The practice of the organization when determining the personal status of staff members for the purpose of entitlements has been done and will continue to be done by reference to the law of nationality of the staff member concerned. UN staff requests for partner benefits will continue to be granted only after authorization by their home countries."
A proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution to restrict marriage exclusively to a man and a woman found 55% support in the U.S. House of Representatives this week, falling far short of a two-thirds majority it needed to advance. The House proposal would also have barred conferring the legal incidence of marriage on any other unions, a phrase opponents believed could jeopardize the recognition of civil unions and domestic partnerships, as well as marriage itself. The vote was largely along party lines, Republicans in favor and Democrats opposed, with roughly 1 out of 6 representatives in each party crossing over. In July, the U.S. Senate killed a similar proposal by a scant majority on a procedural vote without actually voting on the amendment itself.
Republican supporters admitted ahead of the House vote that they knew it would fail, although they vowed to reintroduce it. Gay supportive Democratic representative from New York, Gerald Nadler, said in the debate that, "We know this is not going anywhere. We know it's merely a political exercise. Shame on this House for playing politics with bigotry."
Republican President George W. Bush issued a statement later that day saying, "A bipartisan majority of the U.S. representatives voted in favor of a constitutional amendment affirming the sanctity of marriage as a union between a man and a woman," and declaring he is disappointed that the House failed to achieve the necessary two-thirds vote. He continued, "Because activist judges and local officials in some parts of the country are seeking to redefine marriage for the rest of the country, we must remain vigilant in defending traditional marriage." That statement reflected most of the Republican positions in the floor debate, which also repeatedly emphasized what they assert is the importance of heterosexual marriage for child-rearing. Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Texas warned that to destroy the definition of marriage as one man and one woman would mean this country will go down. Texas Republican John Carter bemoaned the fact that when he was a judge, he'd handled the dissolution of 20,000 marriages. Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank responded, "I'm a gay man, and I presided over the dissolution of none." Referring to the Republicans' favorite talk show host, he continued, "I'm sorry Rush Limbaugh's been divorced 3 times, but it ain't my fault."
The lone openly gay Republican in the House, Jim Colby of Arizona, spoke out against the amendment on the floor, emphasizing that marriage laws have always been under state rather than federal control. Virginia Republican Ed Schrock, who recently withdrew his candidacy for re-election after being outed as allegedly using a phone service to seek male sex partners, voted in favor of the amendment. In elections campaigning, the Republican Party and its religious right allies have claimed repeatedly in mailings, on the internet, and in television ads that victory for Democrats will lead to same-gender marriage rights. This theme has been particularly directed at Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry, despite his stated opposition to equal marriage rights. Kerry does oppose a federal constitutional amendment, but believes states should be able to recognize gay and lesbian couples.
And finally, Oregon is one of 11 U.S. states where a proposed state constitutional amendment against same-gender marriages will appear on the November ballot. And polling suggests it may be the one state where that amendment might not pass. The amendment's opponents have managed to place four statements in the official Oregon voters' pamphlet that are ostensibly supporting Measure 36, according to the Associated Press. The amendment sponsors are outraged, but the Secretary of State can delete such statements only on grounds of obscene, profane, and defamatory language, or incitement of hatred, abuse, or violence. The man who wrote the statements, Dennis Moore, calls them satire, a very ancient literary device to ridicule hypocrisy. One of his plants in support of the amendment, credited to the fictitious Defense of Heterosexual Breeding Coalition, declares that the Bible says that marriage is for procreation, and goes on to say that the state should therefore deny marriage not only to homosexuals, but also to all individuals who are infertile. Another reads, "Agree with us or burn in hell."
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 2nd, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
4 years after the most dramatic presidential election in the country's history, U.S. lesbian, gay, bi, and trans voters could be a key factor in another closer-than-close finish on November 2nd. And queer-related issues on the ballot in several hotly contested states are also expected to have an impact. If the stakes weren't high enough, the outcome could have a profound effect on the LGBT rights movement well beyond the next 4 years, since the next president will be naming at the very least one U.S. Supreme Court justice, in addition to making hundreds of other federal court appointments. And it's clear that another Bush administration and Republican-controlled Congress would reject any judicial candidate who might consider a constitutional right to equal marriage. Although the National Log Cabin Republicans stopped short of endorsing Bush's candidacy, largely because of his promotion of the federal marriage amendment, they remain fierce party loyalists. The Stonewall Democrats are going all out for Senator John Kerry based on his strong pro-LGBT record, despite his opposition to full marriage equality. This Way Out correspondent Curtis Crick examines the positions of the partisan activists, as well as the proclivities of LGBT people at the polls.
Election 2000. What else is there to say about it? We all know what happened. George W. Bush was declared winner in Florida by a razor-thin 537-vote margin, and that gave him the majority in the Electoral College and the White House. But what did George Bush really owe that slim margin of victory to? Hanging chads? Butterfly ballots? Absentee ballots? Undervotes, overvotes, Antonin Scalia, Catherine Harris, Ralph Nader, 60,000 black voters scrubbed from the rolls or intimidated on their way to the polls? Or maybe, just maybe, he owes it to the 44,723 gay-identified voters who backed him in Florida. Now, tempting as it may be, to blame the results in Florida or any swing state on one minority or interest group is too simplistic. It doesn't take into account the overlaps in the various populations we're talking about. And it reduces whole groups of real people with their complex motivations and intricate thought processes to mindless, monolithic voting blocks. But that number stuck in my head. 1 in 4 of the 4.2 million self-identified gay voters in 2000 backed the Republican candidate. I spoke to Lisa Keene, a freelance journalist who covers politics for several gay and lesbian publications nationwide. I told her I was surprised by the numbers.
When it was time to go back and look over the gay vote from 2000 in preparation for coverage for this presidential election, it startled me once again.
So why is that surprising to us?
Well, I think it's because maybe too many of us believe that gay voters vote predominantly based on gay-related issues, and I don't think that's true anymore. I think that might have been true somewhere along the line. This presidential election might be different than some others because I think that most gay voters will not be ranking the candidate's position on gay issues as one of their top three or four.
I think where my preconception comes from is the idea that gay and lesbian voters are voting against their interests when they support a right-wing or a Republican candidate.
You know what? I think some people value their pocketbook more than they do their love lives. And that is just a matter of personal priority.
There are a lot of gay Republicans who see themselves as Republicans who happen to be gay.
That is Terry Hamilton, president of Log Cabin Los Angeles.
In certain instances, I might even say that myself. Being gay is not the end-all, be-all, everything in my life. I don't live to be gay. I happen to be gay, and I'm out about it. But at the same time, when you have to choose a political party that you want to identify with, I think the Republican Party is the party for me.
The reality is, if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you carry that with you wherever you go.
That's Eric Bauman. He's the past president of the Los Angeles Stonewall Democratic Club and current chair of the Democratic Party in Los Angeles County.
You are always a gay person, you're always a lesbian person, you're always a transgender person. It doesn't turn on and turn off. And while it's certainly not the only issue that is important to gay and lesbian folks, it can't not be an important issue in your life.
I asked him if he was surprised by the number of gay Republicans.
It really doesn't surprise me because there has always historically been a Republican element of the gay and lesbian community. They're most often well-to-do folks who are voting the tax line rather than the civil rights line. The more important issue for them is lower taxes than whether or not government does good service and whether or not civil rights laws are enacted that protect LGBT people.
The Los Angeles Log Cabin website speaks of their desire to change the Republican Party from within. I asked Terry Hamilton about some of Log Cabin's strange bedfellows.
When I think about the Republican Party, I think about the religious right. And to imagine the religious right and the Log Cabin Republicans in the same party is a big tent. What does your dream Republican Party look like?
I think the dream Republican Party is encompassing all those people on the issues on which we can agree. Lower taxes, less government intrusion, strong military, basically keeping the government out of creating entitlements and people who are dependent upon the government for help. And if we can agree on those issues, maybe we can agree on some of the other issues, or we can agree to disagree on those. So I think we have a job to do in the Republican Party. We've been doing it for 27 years. And I think we can continue to work toward a party that really goes back to the time of Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and some people who were more in tune with what we think the Republican Party should be like. We find our allies, we find people that we can agree with, we find people that we can work with, and we fight the rest of them.
What is the relationship like, from your perspective, between the Log Cabin Republicans and the Stonewall Democrats?
I think they can't even fathom how we can be Republicans and be gay. I've had meetings where I was on one side and the leader of Stonewall was on another, and for the most part, it was cordial and nice, and we kind of talked about our differences, but we don't really have much interaction. They're fairly liberal. A friend of mine who is a Democrat says, you know, I just can't be a member of Stonewall because they're too liberal even for me.
Are there any experiences that you can recall where Stonewall Democrats and Log Cabin Republicans united or collaborated on a project that was important to the gay community?
Not that I can recall, no.
And what do Stonewall Democrats have to say about working with their Log Cabin counterparts?
Certainly for the last 10 years, we've simultaneously had both an occasionally collaborative relationship and an often contemptuous relationship. We are very partisan in what we do. And the reality is our society and our community advances greatest if we have folks in all locations.
Michael Andrzejczak, current president of the Los Angeles Stonewall Democrats, recalls some common ground.
We did work together briefly last year when we experienced the Supreme Court striking down the Texas sodomy laws. It had a huge impact on our community, and we collaborated with Log Cabin Republicans on issuing our views on that ruling. This year, although we haven't worked directly with Log Cabin Republicans on the issue, we've both spoken out in unison in respect to the federal marriage amendment.
5, 6, 7, 8. Hi, this is Bill Condon. Recently wrote the screenplay for Chicago. Knowledge is power, so stay informed by listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
I'm Curtis Crick, and we're talking about gay Republicans, gay Democrats, and election 2004. So what about this year's election? Will the gay vote unify? Again, here's Lisa Keen.
I talked to quite a few gay Republicans around the country. What I heard from them over and over again was that they didn't see any significant difference between Bush and Kerry when it came to gay-related issues. And you know something? On the surface, they have a point.
It depends on what day you're talking about, Mr. Kerry.
Terry Hamilton again.
And it seems to me that the media in general, and Democrats specifically, give him a pass on all of those types of things. It's interesting to see that Democrats are willing to come to gay events and gay galas and say, I understand your situation, I feel your pain. And then we get things like Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the Defense of Marriage Act in the last administration. And that doesn't seem to bother a lot of the people on that side. It bothers me. I don't think there's either party that's going to be perfect on gay rights issues.
Log cabin Republicans aren't the only ones questioning John Kerry's commitment to gay issues. Lisa Keen explains what may turn out to be Kerry's Achilles heel with gay voters.
While he has staunchly opposed putting an amendment in the U.S. Constitution to ban gay marriage, he has publicly supported putting the same type of amendment in the Massachusetts state constitution. And I think that many gay people are quite angry about that.
I personally think it's repugnant.
Eric Bauman again.
But when the Defense of Marriage Act was in the Senate of the United States, John Kerry was one of only 12 senators to vote against it. When John Kerry first got elected to the Senate, he was the sponsor of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. When the Federal Marriage Amendment was introduced into the Senate of the United States, both Senator John Kerry and Senator John Edwards immediately said they would vote against it. I think when gay voters look at John Kerry's record, when they look at his positions on the issues of importance to our community, when most thoughtful gay and lesbian voters make a decision about who to vote for, they will clearly know that John Kerry will give us a seat at the table and an opportunity to talk about these issues with him and educate him. That's not something I can say for George W. Bush.
But despite Kerry's record in support of gay-related issues, the marriage issue could pose a double threat to him by energizing the conservative base and by depressing gay voter turnout, Lisa Keen explains.
In 1992, there was an increased voter turnout in gay precincts around the country. I was working for the Washington Blade at the time, and we surveyed precincts in heavily gay neighborhoods around the country. We noticed when Clinton was first elected that there was a real significant surge in voter turnout in those precincts. In 1996, after he had signed the Defense of Marriage Act, there was a significant drop in the voter turnout in those same precincts.
But the election is likely to be decided by tiny margins in a handful of swing states. And the gay marriage issue, either in the form of ballot initiatives or legislative action in those states, could inspire conservatives to turn out in record numbers.
From exit polls, reporters in Missouri determined that most of the turnout was there to vote on the gay marriage issue. And 70% of people voted to amend the state constitution to ban gay marriage there. If gay marriage has such an enormous impact on the turnout in Missouri, I think we can certainly expect it's going to have an enormous turnout in those other states like Michigan, Oregon, Ohio. We've got every indication from Missouri that those states that have marriage on the ballot, that the turnout is going to be very strong and it's going to be people who are going to vote against gay marriage. Who are they going to vote for president? They're going to vote for Bush.
Polls in this year's presidential contest show it will be the tightest race since last time. And as Bush and Kerry slog it out in the 11 or so battleground states for those elusive and ever-diminishing margins of undecided voters, the gay and lesbian community is left with more questions than answers. Will one quarter of gay voters continue to back Bush? Will gay marriage really be a deciding factor in any of the swing states? And if so, how so? Will it play to the advantage of the more progressive, though some would say disappointing, Kerry? Or will it aid the staunchly conservative FMA-supporting Bush? As the president himself might say, we must not misunderestimate him. This is Curtis Crick.
How liberal is John Kerry? Here are the facts. John Kerry opposed efforts to stop gay marriage in Massachusetts, even signing a letter supporting it. And as a U.S. Senator, John Kerry voted against the Defense of Marriage Act, which defined marriage as between a man and a woman. That's liberal. That's John Kerry. John Kerry, too liberal for America. Americans United to Preserve Marriage is responsible for the content of this advertising.
George W. was a frat boy, did his share of coke. Now he's a U.S. president, even though he didn't get the vote. Singing woe to the world, all the boys and girls. Woe to the fishes in the deep blue sea, woe to you and me. Dissolved international treaties, more than any president. Sent our troops to Iraq, though he had no real evidence. Singing woe to the world, all the boys and girls. Woe to the fishes in the deep blue sea, woe to you and me. Spent the country's surplus in bed with Kenneth Lay. Took the record for any president for most vacation days. Singing woe to the world, all the boys and girls. Woe to the fishes in the deep blue sea, woe to you and me. Stands behind John Ashcroft, who needs civil rights. The Patriots Act will protect us all as long as you're rich, male, and white. Singing woe to the world, all the boys and girls. Woe to the fishes in the deep blue sea, woe to you and me. He thinks he is the king of the world, rich boy run amok. Vote him out the next election, 'cause as president he sucks. Then there'll be joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Curtis Crick contributed program material. Thanks also to Rita Gonzalez. The House Jacks and Jamie Anderson performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3OCR Colac, Victoria, KRCL Salt Lake City, Utah, WRUV Burlington, Vermont, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.